Wednesday night been studying the topic of wisdom. And I do believe that tonight will be my last message in the series of wisdom. And will be the seventh message that has been preached. Preached a message entitled The Need for Wisdom. What is wisdom? Why is wisdom crying? The choice for wisdom. The blessing of wisdom. Last week we preached on what wisdom can do for you from Proverbs chapter number 8. And then tonight I'm going to preach to you a message entitled Wisdom is Ready. Wisdom is ready. If you would, holding your hand in chapter number 9, go back to Proverbs chapter 4. And let's just read our foundational text for the series as Solomon here is writing to his boy. And he says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline, neither turn away from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee." Wisdom is personified as a prophetess, as a woman. "And love her, she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." Solomon's burdened for his boy, and he's burdened for the path of life that his boy is going to choose. And not only is this a book that was written from a father's point of view to his son, it's not just applicable for him, it's applicable for all of us as the paths of life that we choose. And the book of Proverbs is a book about paths. And if you study the book, I've told you this, some we have visitors tonight and others, you ought to highlight every time you see the word path. And the dad was presenting both paths, both choices to his son. One was a path of wisdom, the other was a path of folly. The father took, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, both directions, wisdom and folly, and presented them as women. And so you have the woman of wisdom and you have the woman of folly. And nothing gets a young man's attention like a girl. And that boy and that dad knew that. And so he was presenting it along those lines. And the passion of dad's heart, the concern for his son, was that he wanted him to walk in the path that was with wisdom. We said that what is wisdom? Wisdom is the knowledge and fear of the Lord that one has, that has as a result a love for truth and righteousness and a hatred for evil. That is wisdom. And he wanted his boy to have knowledge and fear of the Lord, and it wanted it to be a working knowledge. That's understanding. See, knowledge, we talked about those three words, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. I gave you an illustration. You tell somebody, don't touch the stove, it's hot. They have knowledge. Then when you're not looking, that kid touches that stove and he pulls back his hand. Now he has understanding. He has understanding that that stove is hot. Wisdom is, the next time he's there and he's all alone, he's thinking, I'm going to touch it, but I remember what it was, and so I don't touch it. Therefore, I'm not hurt. So knowledge, the Bible said, comes out of the mouth of God, or is the word of God. Knowledge is to be appropriated and properly through understanding to bring us to the position of wisdom. The danger that we have is we exalt our own understanding above knowledge. So mom says, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Understanding says, well, I don't know about if I can trust that, so let me see for myself. Or understanding says, I'll just get off real fast, or I'll do this. And so anytime I exalt my own understanding above knowledge, I'm going to get burned. See, proper understanding is, here's the knowledge of God's word. I'm going to appropriate it as God's word. Therefore, I'm going to be in the position of wisdom. And a lot of people, they get to the point of understanding where they have experience, and it may lead them to the path of wisdom. But we talked about the fact that a lot of Christians get burned. Their marriage gets burned. Their mind gets burned. Their children get burned. Their business gets burned. Their homes get burned. And there's some kind of hurt that takes place when I exalt my understanding above knowledge. Understanding is not to be exalted over knowledge. Understanding is to be submitted to knowledge, and therefore I let that knowledge bring me to wisdom. For the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says that God giveth wisdom. How does God give wisdom? By giving knowledge. Where does knowledge come from? Out of the mouth of God. We call the mouth of God the Word of God, and God's people said, amen. So Solomon is teaching his boy, now son, you got to get wisdom, but man, you got to get understanding if you're going to have wisdom. And understanding is, don't exalt your understanding above knowledge. You submit it to knowledge and let that bring you, therefore, to wisdom. And so he's burdened for his boy. We ended last week on the message on what wisdom can do for you in chapter number 8. And we found that in verse number 4, where there's that direction of unto you. It was personal. And we said that wisdom will give you a couple of things. Number one, it'll give you words you can trust. And there's a description of the words of wisdom. There's 5 adjectives there in those verses. Excellent, right things, true, righteous, and plain. Wisdom will give you true wealth in verse number 10. And you come across over into verse number 18. It says, riches and honor are with me, wisdom says. Yea, durable or lasting riches, enduring riches and righteousness are with me. And so wisdom will give you words you can trust. It'll give you wealth that is trustworthy. And then he was teaching him not only what wisdom can do, but how do you appropriate those things? Well, if you look over in verse number 6 of chapter 8, you got to hear the word. You got to hear. For I will speak of excellent things. And talked about hearing the word of God, listening to the word of God, respecting the word of God. Verse number 10 talks about receiving instruction. There's got to be humility. You got to be teachable. There has to be that reception. There has to be that surrender. There has to be that heart work, the heart involved in there. Verse number 17, you got to love truth. You got to love wisdom. He said, I love them that love me. Solomon is trying to teach his son to love wisdom. And he's trying to teach his son to love wisdom because of who wisdom is and what wisdom can do for him. And by the way, we find in the New Testament that who is our wisdom? Who is our wisdom, class? The Lord. Jesus has made unto us wisdom. He's the wisdom of God. In him is hid the treasures of wisdom. And Solomon is saying, if wisdom is going to bless you, what wisdom is going to do for you, you must love wisdom and you must seek after wisdom. The Bible said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so he's trying to show his boy the importance of that. And then he said in verse number 17, seek me early and ye shall find me. And so this is the Old Testament, seek first the kingdom of God. And so he says, now if you're going to appropriate and you're going to secure the blessing or what wisdom can do for you, you've got to hear the word of God. You've got to receive instruction, not only be a hearer, but be a doer. You've got to love truth. You've got to love wisdom. And you've got to seek the Lord. These are things that take discipline and take action. I heard a preacher preaching on the radio today talking about, and he gave an illustration about the importance of action on from God's people. He said, I can give you a gold mine. I think it was Dr. Jeremiah. I was traveling and he was preaching. And he said, a man can give you a gold mine and you can own the deed of the gold mine and you can have all the equipment to get the gold and the gold can be there. But unless you go dig up the gold for yourself, you're never going to enjoy the riches of it. And so some people think that, well, just because I'm a Christian, I'll have wisdom, or just because I'm a Christian, I'll have this. No, you got to go after wisdom. You got to get wisdom. And so he was teaching him what he can do for him. Now, in chapter number 9, he's going to finish this section on wisdom. He's going to begin another section in chapter 10 through 22 and begin with the Proverbs here. But this is the last epilogue to the 10 exhortations of the first 8 chapters. And he's getting ready to wrap it up. And so he's done all he can do to explain to his son. He's taught him what wisdom can do for him. And now he's going to let him know that wisdom is ready. She's waiting for him. And there's 4 things I want you to see from this chapter. The first thing I want you to see is how prepared wisdom is in verses 1 and 2. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. All right. Now Solomon is making a last plea for his son, and he's getting ready to present wisdom in the fact that she is prepared to bless him. She is prepared to receive him. She is prepared to meet all of his needs. She is prepared to satisfy this young man. He talks about that she has builded her house. It's a strong house. It's a secure house. If you look at that word 7 in verse number 1, 7 is an important word in the Bible. It's God's number. It's a word of maturity or completion. And so Solomon is teaching his boy that wisdom is complete. There's nothing lacking in the wisdom of God. There's nothing that's not trustworthy in the wisdom of God. The house is complete. It's set on 7 pillars. It's tremendously strong. It's there, and it's stable, and you can trust it, and it's prepared for you. He goes on in verse number 2 and continues with this preparation and says, not only does she have a place for you, but she has a table for you. She hath killed her beast. That means she's fixed her meal. She has slaughtered the meat. She's prepared it. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. All right. So Solomon is trying to paint a picture to his son that wisdom has everything completed in and of herself, and she has everything prepared for you, and she's got this massive feast sitting on a table just waiting for you to come and eat and eat and eat and be filled, and absolutely you will be filled before wisdom will run out of what you need. And so he's giving him this picture of preparation, and he's teaching the boy that there's satisfaction, there's sustainment there, there's strength there, there's stability in the wisdom of God, and there's plenty there, and it's available to you. Bible scholars gave a great application as I read this, and they said the 7 pillars there, and that verse number 2, speaking of the feast that is prepared, you can link those words to the church and to the Word of God. Right beside Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 1, write, if you would, Acts chapter 2, 41 to 47. Acts chapter 2, 41 to 47. In Acts chapter 2, those verses, we are given the 7 pillars that the church is founded upon. Come, if you would, to Acts 2, verse number 41. The Bible says, then they that gladly received his word, that's salvation, were, what class? Baptized, that's water baptism. The same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What would that be? What do we get from that verse right there? Church membership. Pastor, does the Bible teach church membership? Yes, it does. Pastor, should I be a member of a church? Yes, you should. Pastor, can a congregation of people call themselves a church without a membership? No. You cannot call yourself a New Testament Bible-believing church if you don't have a membership. One of the pillars of the church was membership. The gospel, water baptism, church membership. They were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What would we call that? Discipleship. And fellowship. And in breaking of bread. What do we call that? Communion. And in prayer. So you have the gospel. You have baptism. You have membership. You have discipleship. You have fellowship. You have communion. And you have prayers. Those are the seven pillars, really and truthfully, or foundations there of any church that's built upon. And so I think that's a wonderful application that some of the scholars made. And then they use verse number 2 of Proverbs chapter 9. And they said, when you talk about feasting at the table and you talk about provision here, you're talking about the Word of God. So Solomon says, wisdom has prepared herself. She's built this house. And inside this house, there's a feast table, son, and she's waiting for you. And the application for us is that today, wisdom has built the church, for this church belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. And wisdom has the Word of God. He is the Word of God. And so when you take the church and the Word of God, there's the preparation for wisdom. And Solomon is letting his boy know, everything is set for you to have wisdom. Pastor, are there not new things and new revelations and new developments? And how do we know the Bible is complete? How do we know all of those things? We know all of those things because the Bible tells us those things as to what they are. So the first thing Solomon is letting his boy know about wisdom is that she is prepared to meet his every need. Let me just say this. Jesus Christ can meet every single need that's in this room tonight. Every need. And you better understand that. He meets the need of salvation. He meets the need of peace. He meets the need of provision, direction. He will guide your steps. He will lead your path. He will calm your fears. If you come into the church tonight and you have a need, always begin the search for that, answer that need with the person of Jesus Christ. Not what some church member says, not some church program, not anything, with the person of Jesus Christ. For he and he alone is able to meet your needs. Not only is there a preparation involved, there's an invitation. And this invitation is important that wisdom is giving out. I want you to see it in verse number 3. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. So wisdom has got this house built. And it's complete, and she's got this table set that's there for provision, and she desires for people to come and partake. And so she doesn't wait for people to find her. She sends forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. And by the way, that ought to bring with you great recollection to Matthew chapter 28 and the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. We're not to just sit and wait for people to come. We're to go and tell others about the Lord. And so wisdom has sent forth her maidens. They're crying in the highest places of the city. Now look who they're after. Whoso is, say that word, simple. Let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth, lacketh, or does not have understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. All right? So there's an invitation here that's going forward for wisdom, and the invitation is to the simple. Now, the simple is only one of the triplets that's still alive at this moment in this time. Does anybody remember the three triplets in chapter number 1 that Solomon was addressing to his son, or wisdom was addressing? She addressed three triplets. One of them was the simple. Oh, you hurt my feelings. Come on, think. Three triplets? Go, if you would, to chapter number 1. Let's look at them. Look at verse number 22. Somebody find me the three triplets. Scorners and fools. simple ones, scorners, and fools. Remember, this was when wisdom was crying. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. A scorner is a scoffer. A fool is somebody who says no to God. All right? Come back to Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 4. There's this massive meal. The house has been built. Wisdom is there. She sends forth this invitation, but she only invites the simple. Matter of fact, this is the third invitation that she has given. Come to chapter 8 and verse number 5. In chapter 8, verse number 5, we've had the death of one of the triplets already. And you see in chapter 8, verse number 5, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye what class? Fools, be ye of an understanding heart. But there's no mention of, no invitation to the fool and to the scorner. Now, they are referenced here, but they're not invited. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. Forsake the foolish. Who is wisdom speaking to there? The simple. Okay. In verse number 4, there's the invitation to the simple. In verse number 5, come and eat of my bread, simple. Verse number 6, forsake the foolish. And what? Live. What happened to the fool? If simple is to forsake him and live, then the fool, what's the opposite of living? Okay, let me show you something. Go, if you would, to chapter 8 and verse number 36. And let me show you what happened to the fool. In chapter 8, verse number 36, remember, the fool had listened to folly. The fool had went away. The fool didn't understand. But he that sinneth against me, speaking of wisdom, wrongeth his own soul. And all they that hate me love what, class? Love death. They love death. Come back to chapter 1, verse 22. What was the question wisdom asked fool? Wisdom asked fool what question according to verse number 22? How long will you do what? Last phrase of verse 22. How long, fool, will you do what? Hate knowledge. Come back, if you would, to chapter 8 and verse number 36. All they that hate me love what? Death. So Solomon says, son, wisdom is inviting the simple. You see, the fool doesn't stand a chance. The fool loves death because he hates me. The fool will experience death because he hates wisdom, wisdom being Christ. And so wisdom, Jesus says, forsake fool and live. I would say that's good instruction. Would you not say that's good instruction? Come back to chapter 9. Go in the way, verse number 6, of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. So the fool rejected wisdom and the fool hated knowledge and the fool died. So what happened to scorners? Well, the scorner, he listened to folly. And if you go to Proverbs chapter 6 in verse number 32, here the scorner, he abused the direction and he didn't understand and he scorned the commandments and he lacked understanding. and delighted in the scorning. And so it said, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. So the scorner, he scorned that direction of holiness, and he scorned that direction of going the way of that woman. And so in scorning of that, he found himself to be in a position where he was destroyed his own soul. So the fool is no longer around, and the scorner has been destroyed. By the way, go to Proverbs chapter 3. Let me show you what will happen to the scorner. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 34, speaking of the Lord here, surely he scorneth the scorners. I know one thing. I don't want to be scorned by the Lord. But he giveth grace unto the what class? I'll take grace over scorning every time. If that's you, say amen. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. So in chapter number 1, wisdom was pleading with triplets. Simple, the scorner, and the fool. The scorner, he got destroyed because he scorned that direction. What's it mean to scorn? To scoff, to make fun of, to belittle. The fool, he listened to folly, and he went down, and he got destroyed. He loved death because he hated knowledge. And so he around his. So now here's wisdom saying to the simple, forsake the fool and don't waste your time with the scorner. And he comes back here now. Listen to this invitation. Verse number 8. Rebuke a wise man and he will what class? He will love thee. Love thee. You know, a wise man will receive rebuke. I want to ask you a question. Are you rebukable? Are you rebukable? When is the last time somebody got in your face, looked you in your eyeballs, and rebuked you under the power of the Spirit of God? When is the last time somebody got in and said, brother, I love you, or sister, I love you, but you're going down a wrong path? Are you rebukable? Or let me ask you this question. If you're not rebukable, then you have to be a scorner. A scorner hates to be rebuked. A wise man understands rebuke and submits to that. Are you rebukable? Or are you sitting there and God has rebuked you, but there's that scorn of that? Well, that's a good question. Very good. Solomon's teaching his son. Now listen, son, a scorner can't handle rebuke. A wise man will take rebuke. All of us need rebuke. And you can't walk with God without being rebuked. None of us are perfect. None of us are without sin. And wisdom says, there are times I need to be rebuked. Important. He goes on in verse number 9. Give instruction. Now he's not talking about driving instructions here, ladies. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet what class? Wiser. He's teaching his son. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. You see, the scorner will hate it. The scorner will scoff. And the scorner scoffed his way to the position now where wisdom has scorned him, and he's no longer invited. You know, I have found that even sometimes God's people can get to the position of scorning to the point where God just says, okay, you're no longer invited in this direction or this will. I'll no longer work through here. If you're not going to humble yourself, I can scorn you, but I give grace to the lowly. That word lowly is humble. And he's teaching us in this invitation to be that simple person, that not that fool and not that scorner, but that one that responds to the invitation of wisdom. Then he goes on here and he talks about in verse 10 to 12, there's the commendation, wisdom's commendation. Now he's teaching them and he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We understand that. That fear of the Lord is that reverential awe and respect. He's saying, now son, here's wisdom's commendation. It begins with the fear of the Lord. Now watch this. And the knowledge of the what? Of the holy is what? Understanding. Now go back up here, if you would, to verse number 4. Whoso is simple, let him turn in thither, or hither. As for him that lacketh or wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come and eat of my bread. Jesus is the bread of life. Drink of my wine. His blood was shed for us. Forsake the foolish. Comes down to verse number 10. If I want understanding, then understanding is involved in the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Now go back to the illustration we gave earlier. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge is the word of God. Wisdom is that path and that walk of God. And understanding is not my experience. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord, lean not unto thine own understanding, not your own experience. If you want understanding, you will have the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit should always trump our experiences. He's saying, son, don't trust your experience. Trust the Holy One. If you want understanding, don't go be with her. Don't go down those paths. You don't need that. If you want understanding for the point of wisdom that comes from knowledge, get to know the Holy Spirit. My God, thank you for the leadership of the Spirit of God in our lives. He's teaching his son to recognize that. Look at what wisdom will do. And when you have that fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Holy One, for by me, verse 11, thy days shall be multiplied and the years of thy life shall be increased. No parent wants to bury their kid. Every parent wants their kid's life to be greater than theirs and longer than theirs. And here Solomon is telling his boy, accommodating wisdom and saying, she'll give you a long life. She'll multiply the years of thy life. And now in verse number 12, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise. Say those two words, class. But if thou scornest, thou, what's the word? Alone shall bear it. Now here, this is a dad's heart just coming through his chest. He says, now son, I have instructed you and I've taught you. And I've got wisdom standing here in your mind. And she's fully complete, ready to meet every one of your need. And boy, it's up to you. It's up to you. If you will be wise, you'll be wise for yourself. I can't be wisdom for you. I can't be righteousness for you. I can't do this. It has to be for you. But son, if you scorn her, it will also, the consequences will be on you. My son, it's your choice. Wisdom is ready. Are you going to receive her? And I look at you tonight, and I'm telling you this. If you will be wise for yourself, or you will face the consequence of scorning for yourself. Wisdom is for us. Christ is there. The choice is, will we take him for ourselves? For ourselves. You must make that decision. If I could be wisdom for you, I would be. But I can't be. It's accommodating wisdom. And there's a condemnation. Look at verse number 13. A foolish woman. He's going to compare again. This is his last shot at his boy. A foolish woman, she's clamorous. That word clamorous is boisterous. She's simple. And she knoweth what, class? By the way, foolishness knows nothing. She's a stupid woman. And I don't mean that as women being stupid. I'm telling you that Solomon's telling his son, the foolish woman is a stupid woman. The foolish man is a stupid man. They know nothing. Their promotion shall be shame. This woman is boisterous and loud and clamorous. She sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of this city. She calls the passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, she's after the same people. Let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding. Now here is the foolish woman. This is her definition of understanding. Verse 17, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That's a sexual verse. Here's what she's saying. She's saying, if you want understanding, let it come through your senses. Do you remember the first message I preached to you in James chapter 3 on this? We said there was wisdom that was earthly, and there was wisdom from above. We said that the wisdom that was earthly had as an origin a demonic. Wisdom that was above was of Christ. Wisdom that was above was exposed through faith. Wisdom that was of earth was exposed through our what? Senses. It was sensual. And so the foolish woman sits there and she says, if you want understanding, let it happen through your senses. She's after eroticism. She's a very erotic woman. And Solomon is saying, this woman is telling you that stolen waters are sweet. It's adultery. She's a married woman. And he's saying, there's such eroticism in an affair. There's such eroticism in the thought of thievery. There's stimulation and intensity. Stolen waters are sweet. And then she goes on and says, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So we're gonna be secretive here, and you're gonna feast yourself in secrecy upon me, and having it that way is going to be pleasant. Let me tell you something. The Bible says the way of wisdom is pleasant, and Jesus is the only pleasant way. And so here's this foolish woman. She's making an invitation to the simple. And she's commending solely on the boy's understanding, on his experience, on eroticism, on his senses. Come eat these stolen waters. They'll be sweet. Or drink these waters. They'll be sweet. Eat this bread. Solomon says, let me tell you, son, the end of her ways. Look at verse number 18. But he knoweth not that the, what class? The dead are there. And that her guests are in the depths of where? In hell. Let me just say a little bit of a side note that the Spirit of God is pricking me on. I want to say this tactfully. Careful about eroticism. Be careful about the thrill of secrecy. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin. How long? For a season. You'll be amazed at how many quote-unquote godly people get caught up in an erotic lifestyle. And way ever before it becomes an actual deed, it functions inside their mind. Somewhere inside their mind, they come up with this little fantasy world, this make-believe. Let's call it Hollywood. And they begin to allow that pleasure or that sin or that drive and that eroticism. It's very powerful and it's very attractive. It can take a common housewife who has not a normal sexual relationship with her husband and turn her into whatever. It can take a man who is as boring and as whatever and satisfied, and it can turn his mind into a perversion that you have never seen. And I'm going to tell you something. It is thrilling. It is exciting. And it will have a lot of satisfaction for a short time. But this Bible is the Word of God. If you agree with that, say amen. And many of the people, you get caught in this eroticism. in this fantasy world. And see, and pretty soon you get over here, and that thing that has brought forth, or that person that's brought forth that eroticism in the middle of the night, turns into the deadliest skeleton you've ever seen. And they wrap, that dead skeleton wraps its arms around you, and you're clutched in, and pretty soon you're dragged down to the grave. All because you tolerated that little drive of eroticism. You better understand that that is a boisterous, clamorous, foolish, devilish, demonic devil that's crying for the simple. Don't be foolish. Don't be a scorner. Love the Word of God. There's Solomon's got it all pictured for his boy. Wisdom is prepared to meet you, meet every need you have. Christ is prepared to meet every need you have. There's an invitation to the simple. The scorner and the fool, they died. They rejected the invitation. There's a commendation on what wisdom can do. There's a condemnation to that foolish woman. Oh, he kneweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Go back, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4 for just a moment. I just want to end by reading a little bit in verse number 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold, boy, of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the paths of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it. Turn from it, pass away, for they sleep not except they've done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them, boy, in the midst of thine heart. For their life unto thee, those that find them, and health to all them their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let not thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I pray that that would be the direction of our lives. And God's people said, shall we pray?